Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Today's sermon is titled, Faith Living, Faith Giving. I will answer the question, what is faith living? What is the difference between living by faith and our initial faith in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? The New Testament authors give us an important clue about how to live by faith as strangers in the world today. They keep pointing us to the Israelites' poor example of living by faith in the wilderness under Moses, after they were miraculously delivered out of Egypt by the hand of God. The Holy Spirit is telling New Testament believers not to fall into the same example of unbelief as the Israelites. The Israelites' unbelief started after they initially believed Moses by putting the blood of the unblemished lamb upon the doorposts of their houses. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as Paul is writing to the Gentile church in Corinth, and I emphasize the Gentile church. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This stern warning that takes us back to the Old Testament is repeated several times in the New Testament for our admonition. The admonition is to the believer, not the lost man. Almost the entire adult generation of Israel failed to enter the Promised Land because of their constant murmuring, fornication, idolatry, and tempting the Lord. They were delivered out of Egypt. However, they failed to enter Canaan land except for Caleb and Joshua. The New Testament Canaan land or Promised Land is the millennial kingdom of God, the 1,000-year kingdom that Christ will establish when he returns to this earth. Remember what the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy kingdom come." The honor to rule and reign with Christ in his earthly kingdom and to attain a crown is a privilege to those only who live faithfully after they initially put the blood of the unblemished Lamb of God upon the doorposts of their heart. Eternal life on the new earth in a new created heaven after the old is passed away, and which we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, is a gift received by our initial faith in the work of Christ on Calvary. The millennial kingdom, however, is a reward based upon our faith living as pilgrims in this current world upon this current terrestrial globe. The Israelites failed in living by faith after they initially believed Moses and being eyewitnesses to the amazing miracles of God and his utter destruction of Pharaoh and the Egyptian Empire. Believers in Christ are called upon to walk by faith, not by sight. So enjoy today's sermon as these things are explained further. Faith Living, Faith Giving, Part 5.
Hence, being the children of Abraham, believers must do the works of Abraham. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 8. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Notice who he's speaking to. From chapter 8, verse 31, he never changes the narrative of who he is directing his conversation to. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." The Bible is very specific. The Jews that believed on him. Here it is. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." See, not every believer is a disciple. Only those who continue. Those who forsake everything. Just like Apostle Paul counted all things but dung in his life, his earthly possessions, his earthly titles. He counted those things but dung that he may win Christ. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father." Who is their father? The devil. Right, the devil. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children. Now they are Abraham's children biologically, but not by faith. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But ye now seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And so Abraham obeyed God and did the truths that were found in the Word of God, and did not bring, understood who the Messiah was. But he's saying, you know, you're doing the deeds of the devil. If ye continue in my word. So they were not continuing in his word. Abraham would have recognized Jesus Christ. If he was on earth, he would have recognized that he was the Messiah. Our inheritance into God's millennial kingdom hinges on our faith living in the good works ordained of God that we read in Ephesians 2:10, and you can see that in the beginning of your notes here. I believe I have Ephesians 2:10 written out for you. And for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So now as we continue in the faith, we're to do these good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, our inheritance into God's millennial kingdom hinges on our earth, on our faith living in the good works ordained of God. After our initial faith, just like Abraham offered up Isaac as a sacrifice because he had living faith that God would provide himself a lamb. Hence, Abraham received a double or second blessing. Tells us here in Genesis chapter 22. Now, what we read at the beginning was Abraham's receiving the blessing. That occurred in earlier chapters. I believe it's chapter 12, and I believe we have that spelled out for us a little bit later. But Abraham received his first blessing in believing upon God and coming out of Ur of the Chaldees before Isaac was born. And that was his first blessing. The second blessing here in Genesis chapter 22, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And what did Abraham do? He built a fire, and he put his son on the fire and was about to drive a stake into his son's heart. And God called, said, Abraham, Abraham. I see that you loved me more than anything else on the earth, and you obeyed me, and God provided him a lamb, and Isaac's life was spared. And Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. But God provided himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, that's a twofold saying there. God provided Abraham a lamb, and Abraham found a ram with his horns stuck in the thorns and used that ram as a sacrifice. God provided himself a lamb. But God will provide himself a lamb. God became the lamb. God became the Lamb of God. He was himself the sacrifice. as Isaac was, Abraham is a type of picture of the Father. Isaac is a type of picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God himself was the Lamb through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and was the actual sacrifice. And so God will provide himself a lamb. Works of Abraham, offering up his firstborn son Isaac. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have work. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's faith living. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Notice this is a different faith. This is the continuing faith that Abraham had. Seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The scriptures was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead, is dead also. So faith without works. So this is the continuing part, aspect of faith and living faith. And so he was blessed in blessing. And Dr. Dixon taught us this a year and a half ago. In blessing, he received more blessing. And so we're blessed because Abraham was blessed. And we're blessed because Abraham was obedient in faith. And so we're blessed because of that. And so because of that, the Jews became God's people. And in the Old Testament, you see how God nurtured them and was like an eagle and encompass them as his chicks, as a hen would their chicks, and try to nurture them. And what did they do? How did they reward God for that? Rebelled, murmured, complained, bellyached, wanted to go back into the world, live like the world, wanted to do things the way the world does things. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And still, God was merciful over and over and over and over again. He was merciful with Israel. Yes, they would get punished. There would be plagues, or he would allow kings to come in and ransack some of their cities, and lives would be lost because of those things. But he provided judges in the book of Judges. He provided kings that brought victories like David and Solomon he brought prophets to try to steer the people to do right. And so the New Testament, Jesus says, I was like a hen trying to nurture my chicks. So, Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? In Genesis chapter 14, this is another work of faith by Abraham. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, or Salem, excuse me. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Who is Melchizedek? If you have your Bibles on, you turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We learn a little bit about more about Melchizedek. He pops up for a very brief moment on the world stage in the book of Genesis. But a whole chapter or more is mentioned about Melchizedek. We see at the end of chapter 6, his name is mentioned there. Whither the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, Salem meaning peace, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So Melchizedek had several titles: king of righteousness, king of Salem, king of peace. And Salem means peace. Without father, without mother, without descendant, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now they said, Melchizedek just popped up on the world stage. There's no lineage. Abraham can trace his lineage back to Adam and Eve. But we have no lineage of Melchizedek. He just appears. We don't know of his descendants. But Abraham, who was great in the land, had the blessings of God upon him. God was multiplying his wealth and riches, even though he lived in tents, and only even though he had one son, Isaac, but he was to be the father of many nations. Yet Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is a type of the Lord, is a type of the Lord. Without father, without mother, we read that. Chapter 7, verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a command to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So there's two priestly tribes. You have, at the time of Abraham, you have the Melchizedek priestly tribe. But there's no descendants. Melchizedek, we have learned nothing about descendants. We have no genealogy, lineage from where Melchizedek came from. Then you have the Levites. During the time of Moses, when you have the 12 sons of Jacob, God told the Levitical tribe, that's why you have a whole book called Leviticus, it's all the priestly duties for the tribe of Levi, one of the children of Jacob. And Jacob was the son of Isaac. And so you have these two priestly tribes. So they're comparing and contrasting these two tribes here. Verse 5, I'll read it again. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a command to take tithes of the people according to the law, to Moses' law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendants is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. They're saying something is unique about this Melchizedek. Abraham was tithes to this Melchizedek. He has a prominent position. And so we learn more as we go down here. It says verse 7, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. It means Abraham was the less, and he was blessed by Melchizedek, who was greater than Abraham. And here, men that die receive tithe, but there he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who received tithe, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek yet met him. Now, Abraham wasn't Levi's father. But in scriptures, your forefathers are always called your father. So Levi was the great-great-grandson of Abraham, right? Because Abraham's son was Isaac. Isaac's son was Jacob. Jacob's son was Levi, plus all his other brothers, Reuben and Joseph and all the other brothers that were part of the family there, 12 sons. It's a little complex, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So there was the Aaron high priest and the Melchizedek high priest. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertain to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, not Levi, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Okay? Judah was not to be a priest in the tribes of Israel. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect by the bringing in of a better hope did. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. Verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible. the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.